Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
I think this just goes to show you how upside down our politics can be at times. And I think we see a lot of that nowadays. Local federal cooperation and immigration enforcement, that's under attack, I think. The Helena City Commission, led by the mayor of Helena, newly appointed there, but a member of that commission previously, approved a 4-1 resolution that essentially tells the Helena Police Department to avoid assisting federal civil immigration enforcement. Are not these ICE agents following the law? So did not the Helena City Commission instruct their law enforcement officers to not cooperate with federal officials following the law? Yeah, politics upside down. We're going to, you know, and what happens here, too, is that they now withdraw from the Missouri River Drug Task Force. That task force has been vital to Montana over the years in pulling back on drugs traffic through here. What is the ramifications of all of this? We will talk with Lewis and Clark County Sheriff Leo Dutton today on Voice. Maybe some common sense. Maybe we could actually try to apply some common sense here about what kind of message this sends to the lawbreakers. Oh, boy. Get me going. Hello, and again, thanks for listening to us in Glasgow, Montana. Friends up there, 1240 AM, and also in Dillon, KDBM 1490 AM. Hello. Hope you guys are all doing well there, too. Let's just get right to it. Leo Dutton joins us here, Sheriff of Lewis and Clark County. He's been there for a number of years, I think sworn in prior to 2008. Has it been that long, Sheriff?
That's been that long, yes, 17 years.
Wow, thank you for defending and doing it the right way, I think. Over those years, you've encountered situations like this before where, you know, it's difficult and it's complex and you got teams maybe working, on the wrong side or not like on the opposite sides of things. How would you describe this situation?
Well, it's interesting. We have a daily routine, which is the Helena Police and my office work together, and we're not that big that we can't do it in a silo. We have to work together. So let's just go back to the base of the question about federal immigration and things like that. For the 40 years that I've been doing this, we've never looked for a 287G. We've never made an arrest of an illegal alien, except if they are committing a crime within the state of Montana or have a federal warrant. We do. Those things are clear. So the reaction maybe wasn't well understood in Helena. The thing is, they haven't changed their procedure. I'm sorrowful that they pulled out because we do a lot of work. We do a lot of work in that task force. Locally, we do. And to say that we don't have drugs coming from cartels, either Mexico or China, is just being obstinate, not admitting that we do, because I know I can't go into the cases that we have, but they're transnational cases, and we're working them now, and we can't do them just by being a county, Lewis and Clark County. We've joined in with local, state, and federal partners to make our community safer, and that's the important part, is we want to make our community safer. We want your kids to be able to walk to the playground without fear of being abducted. And I know that they use that, they turn that to say, well, ICE will come get you. No, you've got to have a seat at the table, and you've got to have conversations with the federal agencies to say, here's our issues, here's our problems. So I hope, Tom, that sheds a little more light in the question.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think people are curious as to what this does prevent and what it doesn't prevent. You mentioned the 287G, which I think is like a cooperative agreement, right? Task force. What is that? What kind of rules govern cooperation?
Federal Code 287G is a program where your officers, detention officers, receive federal training, and you're allowed to detain immigrants, and you're allowed to do those kind of things. Right now, under Montana law and Montana case law, a peace officer sworn in the state of Montana is not allowed to do that by different court cases. So the 287G sometimes will be obtained for jails or detention centers where they can contract with the federal government. My jail's full, so I haven't been able to do that for a long time and probably not going to just because of capacity level. But when we have someone who has been stopped for a traffic stop, we write the citation and on they go. It's not letting criminals loose. We'll do our best. It just puts us in a difficult position. Back to your question of the task force, that we need every cooperator we can get to be able to win the fight. And I'll go into, if you want, a couple examples of how the cartels are ahead of us now, if you want.
Yeah, dude, please share whatever you can that's going to help us, the public, understand as much as we can about this current situation.
Oftentimes we think of the Mexican cartels as roughshod, violent, which they are, and having little technology. And that's a misnomer that they want you to think. Like, for example, on the border, your smart cars, when you get in the car, your data that comes out of that car is probably in the thousands of a second, turning on all those kind of things. Well, the cartels have paid off some of the cell companies in Mexico to be able to reach across the border and get that intel of who, like if you have a patrol car, they're going to know. And they're going to know just about everything there is to know about that car that we can get out of that. So that's some federal legislation that we need to look at, how to prevent that. But the cartels are advanced. They have good bookkeepers. They have an incentive program that if you don't do what they say, they kill you. So that is pretty interesting.
Yeah,
that's hard to combat.
Yeah, I mean, that's a deal that you have a rough time refusing. And I remember you talking about that when you visited the border with a number of other officials. And we're talking with Sheriff Leo Dutton here from Lewis and Clark County, longtime public service officer in the state of Montana. Did also graduate at the FBI National Academy as well, and extensive training in command situations here. Sheriff Dutton, I again appreciate your time here. I remember you coming back on this program shortly after your return and told a horrific story about the drug cartels down there and how they will kidnap a man's family and then direct that man to be a mule for them in order to keep their family and get them back. I mean, that's just a situation of how it's real hardball there. And I don't think this resolution by the Helena City Commission helps law enforcement. I think it helps the enemies of law enforcement.
Well, the tough part for me is I need to work with them, but it does beg the question, did they get all the right information? Was it an emotional response versus a response that was based in the fact of what we're doing? Let me go into that agreement of why we have Border Patrol in our task force. Number one, it's called, there's a Section 8 and Section 21. Section 8 is where, out of the code, that they do enforcement. Section 21 is where they can do drug enforcement. We've had a bipartisan approach to this memorandum of understanding. That means people on both the Democrat and Republican side review, write, and approve of the memorandum of understanding that we have, the Border Patrol, when they come to work with us, will concentrate on drug trafficking, human trafficking, sex trafficking, and help us get those cases to the federal level where they receive the maximum amount of time that offender can be tracked across not just states, but into other countries. And little old Lewis and Clark or little old Gallatin or even Broadwater County needs help. And we need to band together to make sure that our public is safe. I know I led out with that, but that's exactly the reason that we do it. Mm-hmm. So they're not there to do immigrations. We're not there to do immigrations. But if we run across a person who's illegal, who's doing the cartel or doing drugs, bringing in drugs, muling them, bringing in people for indentured servitude. I don't know if I talked to you about indentured servitude, did I?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, a lot of scary things about how the cartels are operating and how, in my mind, you know, law enforcement hands are tied.
Well, they are. And, you know, the latest issue with Minneapolis has really brought things to a feverish pitch. Now, I'm a firm believer in the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of Montana. You can peaceably assemble to voice your grievances. I get that. No destruction of property. That's when it becomes a riot. And I agree. You know, the shootings, however they come out, they need to be investigated by an independent third party, and findings published, they're just going to have to. Generally, it's done in a coroner's inquest, but I'm not that familiar with the federal system. But for the American people to keep their trust in an agency that's been villainized, they're going to have to do that. And if they did everything right, good. If they did not, then they have to take action. But the people of the United States have to see that. And you can't jump on the radio or television and say everything was right. I don't do that. Mm-hmm. If I have an officer involved shooting, I'll say, it is unfortunate. I'm sorry. It's under investigation. And we will let you know the results. That officer is put on leave. It's investigated. And then a coroner's inquest follows. So those are things that we need to make sure that we're working together to keep the faith.
I appreciate that. I mean, there were some things that were mishandled in my mind in that situation as well. And there could be remedies for that, right? That's why the investigation is very important. And you're right. A lot of people have jumped on it. And I blame social media, but I don't know if I blame is the right word here. They're using a tool, but it's a tool that is not often used correctly. There's a lot of misunderstanding regarding it. And so
it's not vetted. You know, the people that really do journalism for a living have to go by a code of ethics.
Yeah.
Everyone accuses them of being tainted one side or the other, but they still have a code of ethics. It's vetted. When someone gets on social media and gives an opinion, they call that First Amendment rights. But it's not vetted. It's an opinion. But people sometimes will just assume that or ascribe to that because it's akin to how they feel. And that's dangerous. I do like the ability to keep in contact with my family. What I don't like is rumors or even you have bots, things like that on social media that can try to drive someone's opinion. And it's a blessing and a curse for what we have.
Yeah, it is. And we still have to walk our way through it here, too, because it's being utilized, you know, like you say, both for a blessing and a curse. It's the public officials and the public themselves that have got to take responsibility regarding this. City of Helena sent a message. In my mind, it was the wrong message. They have allowed their police department to pull back on cooperating with federal law enforcement officials. How does that affect drug task force enforcement? Missouri River Drug Force has been around, I don't even remember how long. I think it was formed maybe back in the 90s. And it's just done such a good job. There's a lot of drugs trafficked through the state of Montana. So we needed this. But this Helena City Commission, this move, again, directing their police department to not cooperate, pulls them out of this Missouri River Drug Task Force. We talk more about that with Lewis and Clark County Sheriff Leo Dutton. He is still a member. They are still a member of that Missouri River Drug Task Force. And maybe we'll recap a little bit about what that drug task force has done. Sheriff Dutton, again, I appreciate you coming on here. Still a ton of stuff to talk about, but we'll take a call here now from Nancy listening in Roundup. Our phone number is 866-627-5483. You can text a message here, too, for Sheriff Dutton at 781-627-5483. Nancy, good morning. You're on the air here with Leo.
Well, good morning, Tom, and good morning, Montana. Good morning, Sheriff Dutton. And I want to thank you so much for standing up for law and order in our country, because without law and order, we do not have a civilization. And I want to tell you this. It's a very disturbing time and frustrating for we Americans, because 85 million people voted for President Trump and his stand against illegal immigration and open borders. We want it to stop. And these deadly cartels have to go. And I just want to say this. I've talked to Attorney General Austin Knutson, and I talked to Rob Nadelson, expert on our Constitution, within the last week, and they both are very frustrated. Our Attorney General says that his hands are tied. He can only do what the county, work with the counties. And then Rob told me, I asked Rob a very profound question. I asked him, the insurgencies that we're seeing in our country, is this an indication that the American civilization is dying? And he told me that he thought it started in our school systems, that it was our school systems that were dying, because we're not teaching patriotism and nationalism like we used to in our country, which is actually true. And I just want to say this. In 2021, our governor, Greg Gianforte, made it a law, and this was passed through our legislation, against sanctuary cities in Montana. It's illegal to protect any of these illegal immigrants who entered our country without permission, because that makes them a felon. And we also have federal laws on the books that are being totally ignored. And I just want to put this out there. There is a book called The Invisible Coup, written by investigative journalist Peter Schweizer, and he's talking about our enemies. And believe it or not, China and Mexico are at the top of his list. The Mexican government, this new president, President Claudia Sheinbaum, has been sending members of her parliament into our country, and they are setting up shop here. And they're behind a lot of these riots. Some of these parliament members are behind the riots in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Their motive? They want to take down the United States. They want to take back California. They want to take back the whole Southwest. Now,
let's wrap it up soon, Nancy. I just want to get to a question here.
Sure. Okay, so I just want to say this. What can you do for us? What can we do for you? I know that there's everybody listening is standing behind you, Sheriff, and just tell us how we can help get the cartel out of Montana and help with ICE agents.
Nancy, thank you for that. You know, Leo, in a couple of ways. One, I think the part of the question here, too, is how does this affect the morale of our law enforcement officers? Are they still encouraged? Do they know that we have their back? And then, what are the practical steps that we can do as a member of the public without interfering with the work to help law enforcement?
So those are great questions, Nancy, and thank you for calling in. Yep. And hello to Roundup. I'm originally from eastern Montana, northeast of there, so a little town called Sand Springs.
Yep.
Hello, Taylor Brown.
Yep, Taylor says hello, too, by the way. He said, make sure you tell my old friend Leo hello. Yep.
Let me get down to a real genesis that the United States is now slipping into, and it's starting in Washington and then in New York, the New York State, is the abolishing or replacing the elected sheriff with an appointed sheriff because they don't like what sheriffs say. So it's easy to take a swift of a pin and remove someone. And I'll tell you that the sheriff is the last bastion of an elected position of being a peace officer or law enforcement that's closest to the community, closest to the citizens. So you ask what you can do. And number one, that we do need the office of sheriff because you can get your hands around our throat. And several have tried, but it's important because we are the closest to our community. We understand what's going on in our community, and that affects public safety. And if you want certain things done, you have to have your voices heard. Just like Helena, a lot of people that showed up were upset that Helena Police was looking at having a program with the Border Patrol. I don't think they got the full explanation. But that's number one, Nancy, is you need an elected sheriff. It's a slippery slope. It's being assaulted. If Washington is successful, it's New York is successful, then we're in for a run because then it becomes a political whim. And you understand that if you say the wrong thing or what they're looking at is if you say, I'm angry, or you say a word that they classify all of a sudden as hate speech, they can get rid of you. Elected positions are important. I mean, I know I have people out there that don't like me, but they want the right to vote me out. You know, I also have people that like me, and they want the right to vote me in. But it's my community's choice. It's my people that I serve. It's their choice, not a government bureaucrat. So that's a number one.
That's news too. Thank you for that. I wasn't aware of that. I guess yeah. I was in an ancillary way. I didn't think it was going to have legs, you know. But you just can't tell anymore.
Yeah. It's in Montana in 1972. The Constitution was changed that the office of sheriff was constitutionally established in our original Constitution. But in the 1972 Constitution, they made the sheriff a unit of government, and it's not a constitutionally established office, and that bothers me greatly. It's not that, oh, you get in there and it's a kingdom. Not at all. Can we take a break just for a second?
Yeah. If you got something coming on there, that's fine. Let me, I got a minute and a half, Sheriff, so whatever it is, and I know you probably have people to talk to there, and we're going to continue this conversation here in just a little bit. So if you've got whatever business it is there, go ahead and deal with that. Let me give you, kind of a little context on this. This was on January 27th, 2026. This is the kind of the main thing behind it here. The Helena City Commission approved a resolution that just reiterates the police department's avoidance of assisting with federal civil immigration enforcement and then rejects that 287G, which Sheriff Dutton had referenced, the deputization there. That just really helps the cooperation there. One of the things that city commission did, which is not going to get anywhere, is that they were also requesting that federal agents unmask and identify themselves when it won't interfere with operations. And that they don't have jurisdiction for that. So, I mean, I don't know that it matters, right? If you're going off emotions and political whim, I don't think you create solid policy in those kinds of heavy pressure circumstances. And holy cow, if we have an appointed sheriff, I bet we have sheriffs coming and going, depending on if they say or don't say the right thing. Talking to a man today who knows some of the ins and outs of law enforcement, Lewis and Clark County Sheriff Leo C. Dutton, actually a reserve in the early 80s, full-time deputy in the mid-90s, under sheriff there in 2003 and 2008, sworn in as sheriff, as we're talking about. Well, it started with the Helena City Commission and their resolution essentially requiring the Helena Police Department to not cooperate with federal civil immigration enforcement, with ICE, a horrible message. in my mind, just very politically motivated. It's not policy worthy. But the consequences of that, I think we'll see in other ways. That also takes that police department out of the Missouri River Drug Task Force. And we haven't talked a ton about that, but we will as we get back to it here with Sheriff Leo C. Dutton from Lewis and Clark County. Again, Sheriff, it's good to have you on here. I really appreciate it. Got a call from Skip. We'll take that here in a minute. And I know there's other things because you're there in D.C. with the National Sheriff's Association. I really want to get to what's going on there, too, as newsmaking. I want to kind of go back and talk about morale. Making sure that our officers know that they do have the backing and that even though some of our their left-leaning political officials are not, I think, responsible in some of their policy decisions regarding that, I hope they know that I need them, we need them, and we appreciate them.
Yeah, exactly right. I think the morale in my office is good.
Good.
They understand, and I've got to say that I am good friends with the Helena Police Chief, and what we're going to do is we're going to get together, and we're going to work this out. We cannot allow this to affect public safety. We have to work together. We have to share intel. It's a deconfliction process and how that works. The county attorney is going to weigh in. I've talked to him, and we're going to figure out a process because I just can't throw my hands in the air. One of those tough situations we'll work through, and we'll figure out how to do it. But I can't sit idly by and say, well, sorry, Charlie, because this is where I live in Helena, Montana, and I just cannot fathom where you could your hands would be, well, I've got a drug case, but I don't know what to do with it. So I just wanted to say that as we will. And I guarantee you, we will work toward a solution where citizens don't have to worry. I wish I could have had the opportunity to say exactly what this MOU is, but there are just some people not of the mind that want to hear it. So I didn't. I don't know that they were receptive, but that was the truth.
I appreciate that. You know, and you folks in Lewis and Clark County, when you're hearing this, for me, that tells you got the right man in office. Someone whose first priority is and always will be public safety and solution oriented toward that. So thank you, Sheriff Dutton, for that. I've still got a ton of things to kind of cover here, too. Let's take this phone call, though. Skip is listening in Hamilton, KLYQ, 1240 AM. Good morning, Skip. You're on the air with Sheriff Dutton.
And good morning, Tom, and thank you. And Sheriff Dutton, thanks for coming on. I was just listening to your last many statements, just the last minute and a half. Those were profound, and it's quite a promise, and I hope it works. And when you find that solution, sir, what I was going to ask you is, would you please take your solution to appropriate legislators and get it into our next legislative session so that we can have something even statewide that sets an example so that everybody knows how to work together, when to work together, and to avoid a whole lot of wasted time and energy and money when we have situations that need to be handled.
Great question.
My guess is that you'll come up with something that's very specific, easy to understand, and no nonsense. And I live over here in Ravalli County. You probably know Steve Holton, the sheriff of our county here.
I know him well.
I don't think we'll have to have problems like you're having in Lewis and Clark, but still, it'd be nice if we all had a set of standards that had no nebula involved, and we could take care of things carefully and without so much stress.
Skip, thank you. I'm gonna move on with because I still want to get to some things here regarding the National Sheriff's Association and what's on their plate. So, great question. I suppose it's easier said than done, Sheriff.
Say that again, please.
It's a little easier said than done, trying to create legislation, you know, that codifies the cooperation.
Yeah. Yes, it is. If you've got a majority of citizens who will contact their legislators and let their voices be heard, just like the voices of Montana, you've got to talk to your legislators And we will, too. We're going to do it not in the auspices of a political side, but of public safety and how we can best go about that. We want people to not fear what we're doing, but truly understand why we're doing it, what they're facing. You've alluded to it several times, and I've got more intel than that, but I can't disclose. But we are in a critical point in our nation's history where we have to pay attention to the little nuances that are happening, because it's a slide that we can't get back from. And that's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But the pursuit of happiness doesn't mean that I can do anything I want. It's liberty that we're concerned about and the ability to not lose the Constitution.
Yeah.
Some people that are a little bit more left-leaning are in fear that Trump is going to impose a martial law, and therefore my authority goes out. But I can guarantee you that having a voice back here in D.C. for the National Sheriff's Association, Trump met and said, I support local sheriffs. And that was very encouraging. Our delegation here supports local sheriffs. I've met with them personally, all four of them, and they, within reason, you know, there's no blind allegiance here. Mm-hmm. You've got to follow the law. You've got to do things that are correct. There's no lockstep. I hear that, and I read those terrible things, but it's not true. I'm held accountable by the citizens who live in my county, and I'm also held accountable by the state of Montana. I'm also held accountable because of the United States that says that's not acceptable behavior. No, Sheriff, you're not going to do that. So the greatest guardian of the Constitution of Montana and the Constitution of the United States is your local law enforcement, because we're most noticeable. When you do something wrong, you can get at us. You can get at an elected sheriff real easy. So I am very conscious of that. We train to it all the time. And that's how we'll keep the Constitution alive. So my heart was lightened to hear that we had support.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. And I hope everybody gets that message too, that you work with. I really want to move on here, but I want to peel into Skip's question a little bit. Is there any low hanging fruit? Is there anything that legislators are looking at or have talked about that will, you know, not tie your hands to federal law enforcement, but, you know, accomplish law enforcement collaboration?
Well, just on a federal level, I'm going to keep it there just for right now. A federal level, the Forest Service, who we get along great with and we have a great relationship, but you come back to Washington, D.C., and sometimes that cooperation gets lost. So the Forest Service or other federal agencies have the ability for rulemaking. They don't have a legislative arm that they work with, but they have passed a law where Forest Service could usurp state laws, enforce them, write tickets on those, and move past on forests. Any forest in the West United States is a prescriptive forest, and that means a sheriff is in charge of that forest. Mm. We are in charge except for a national park. National parks are federal. We need to be invited in. If we can come help, but we need to be invited. Anyway, back to the prescriptive forest. We have asked the legislature to overturn that rule and make it null and void because, again, the office of sheriff needs to be responsible to the citizens. So if you call up and say, I saw a federal law enforcement official Forest Service making a stop on a county road and you're disturbed by that, you can call the sheriff and say, tell me about that. I want to know. Mm-hmm. And we'll tell you, A, he or she was cross-deputized, that a report was made into our dispatch, so we know and they know that we're abiding by the law. That's one way that we have overcome some of these jurisdictional issues. And it's, you have to work together. You can go back to your corner and try to put on the boxing gloves, but I tell you who loses, and that's the people of Montana.
Right, yeah.
We need to find the ground that we can agree on, work forward. I can't afford some of the things I'm doing without help, and it's all taxpayer money, but I'm back here. Troy Downing helped secure some money for some communication equipment. Still has to go through the Senate, pass the House. But that's the level of cooperation that you get if you are at the table. The National Sheriff's Association care about enforcing what is the will of the people or protecting the office of the sheriff. They're concerned about overturning the Forest Service issue, and they had about five other legislative issues that we don't have enough time to go into.
Gotcha. No, we did. But we didn't save enough time. And I want to see what's on your plate. Now we got like about 2.5 minutes and maybe three at the very most. But download what is on your plate there for our local law enforcement, our Sheriff's Association?
Well, for the local sheriff's office, as I told you, is to work to see, to encourage, to support, and get the FEMA funds turned loose so we could get the grant for it's Jason Jarrett out of Gallatin County, but he operates Montana Mutual Aid. And when we have floods in Libby and different big, train disasters on the High Line, he goes up. He's very adept at incident management, helps us in managing that. It actually saves money for the counties because it's an efficient use of resources. And sheriffs go help sheriffs. We don't charge. The Anaconda Deer Lodge incident, we had a lot of sheriffs and sheriff's deputies there that went there to help. And I thank the governor for putting forth funds to reimburse. We didn't go there thinking that we were going to charge for it. We went there because they're our neighbors. And when your neighbors when your neighbor's barn's burning, you don't sit back and go, I wonder if I'm going to get paid to help fight that fire.
Right.
You go do it. And however that ends up, but it was a blessing to get paid. But that's how Montana operates. We're a big town with long streets. So we care for each other. We may bicker at each other, but we care for each other. And that's what I enjoy about it.
So that's shaking those FEMA grants loose. I know that the federal government has halted a lot of that spending to make sure it's directed in the right direction. Anything else there you guys are tackling?
There's several. There's the we're coming out strong against the scams that are targeting the elderly. I don't know if I already talked about that. A PSA, public service announcement. Now, there are many other sheriffs that did the same thing. They're going to be marketed nationwide about what to do and how the artificial intelligence is able to make a call that sounds like a relative and request you to do immediate action. You've got to send money right now.
Yeah.
Stop. Don't. Click. Don't click on it. If it's a phone, just hang up. There's been few people that say a few choice words. These are places that are out of United States, and that makes it difficult to go after. But the president and Congress must keep up the pressure on how we can do this. And I urged our congressional delegation to work with the intelligence community. I mean, if we can get Maduro,
yeah,
we can find some of these.
That's right.
People who are bilking our some of our vulnerable citizens. They have a great heart, and they're being taken for $200,000.
Sheriff, I've got to run here to the clock on the wall.
Okay.
Let me go much farther. A couple of text messages here to share support for what you and your officers are doing. I wanted to share that with you as well, and that comes from our heart and everybody here as well. Keep up the good work,
awesome.
Leo.
Yeah. Thank you.
And travel safe, and we'll see you back here. And be safe always, sir.
Sounds good.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.